From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel. Even though Michelle Norris is off today, she didn't want to leave us without something sweet for Christmas.
A sweet that's easy to make and perfect for your holiday table. A gâteau basque. It's a simple cake with filling, kind of like a tart. It's a specialty from the Pays Basque region of France, and it comes to us by way of Dori Greenspan.
I'm going to let it go for a minute and then grab an egg.
She's the author of Baking, From My Home to Yours. She came to my home recently for what's become our annual holiday baking soiree.
Get down there.
And if you know anything about Dori Greenspan, you know she's a Francophile. Over the years, she's taught us to make a tarte tatin, where we learn to caramelize apples and, for the coup de grace, flip a cast iron skillet. And we created hors d'oeuvres with puff pastry using a classic French dough called a pâte à choux, a cabbage dough. Today, it's all about gâteau basque.
It's called a cake, and normally, when you think of cake, you think of batter. But this isn't a batter. This is really a dough.
A dense dough that even taxes our mighty mixer. Dori says the cake will be dry but delicious.
The cake gives you a clue of what's inside. If the cake is filled with pastry cream, then it has a kind of crosshatch pattern on the top. If it's filled with cherry jam, it has a Basque cross on it. And I never make enough extra cake dough to make that little cross, but I love filling the cake with jam. So mine is like a hybrid. I always fill it with jam, but do the crosshatch pattern that would be for pastry cream.
Okay, no, if you were actually in the region, this would be very confusing to them.
Because it would be so confusing, and they'd probably come back and complain, I didn't get what I wanted. You could pat it out like that.
The dough for gâteau basque is a basic butter, sugar, eggs, flour combination with vanilla and baking powder, too, and it's not to be overly mixed. Dori pats the dough into two discs and then rolls out two circles slightly bigger than 8 inches in diameter. That's the top and the bottom of the gâteau basque, but it's got to be refrigerated before we can go on.
Okay.
Now, while we wait, Dori tells me about her recent visit to Basque Country. It's an area about the size of Rhode Island, straddling the border between Spain and France, with a distinct culture and distinct cuisine. Dori and her husband were on the French side, enjoying the stuffed peppers and, of course, this cake. She says she pretty much ate gâteau basque morning, noon, and night at the hotel, in the cafe, at the markets, and then serendipity.
We're driving around on one of these little winding mountain roads, and there's a sign that says, "The Museum of the Gâteau Basque." I can't even begin to tell you, just seeing the sign, how excited it made me. The idea that there could be a museum devoted just to a cake, I mean, it won my heart, of course. We followed the signs, and it was a house. And there was what I assumed was the museum. And so we walked around. We were the only people there, poked our noses around. And by the time we got back to the kiosk, the place was jammed. And as it turned out, it wasn't so much a museum as a baking demonstration. The chef, he stood at his table, and in front of him, he had what looked like an acre of dough. He said, "Now, you have to taste this dough." And he grabbed just a hunk of it and just passed it to the first person on the first pew. And that person kind of took off a chunk and passed it to the next person. And I thought, okay, we're no longer in America. Nobody said, "Oh, where are your plastic gloves? Oh, I don't want to eat the dough you're eating. Oh, there are raw eggs." People just nibbled the dough and tasted.
And it created a sense of communion in that act also.
Well,
you were all together
almost,
from that point.
It's funny because I said passed it to the first person in the pew as though we were sitting. We were, breaking bread. You're right. It did create a kind of community because we all started to talk to one another about what it tasted like. The chef had really devoted this part of his life to making gâteau basque.
It turned out the chef worked in New York with a chef Dori knew quite well. It's a small world after all.
Let's get the dough out of the fridge.
So back to work in my kitchen, two circles of dough thoroughly chilled. We wash our hands and it's time to put together our gâteau basque.
Yes, we're baking, but it's also, it's its own little arts and crafts project actually. So
Dori takes that rolled out circle of dough and presses it into the bottom of a greased 8-inch cake pan, like she's making pie. And don't worry, complete instructions are on our website, npr.org. Next in our process comes the filling.
I've used lots of things inside of it. Whatever jam I've had in the refrigerator, it's great with blueberry. It's actually nice with cranberry relish inside of it. Not savory relish, but like a cranberry sauce. It's good with lemon curd. You can really play around with it. It won't be traditional, but it will be good.
You will need about 3/4 of a cup of whatever filling you choose and a little bit of water to help seal the top to the bottom of the dough. And baker's luck, there's just enough leftover dough for us to fashion a Basque cross. It looks like a flattened pinwheel on the top of the cake, a signal that this cake is full of jam. Into the oven at 350 degrees and out about 40 minutes later and then into our mouths.
Remember I said it's a dry cake? I'm always afraid to use the word dry with cake because it sounds like a fault. But in this case, I don't. It's not at all.
You have that. It's not like something that wasn't stored well.
Exactly. You have the jam filling, which is by its nature moist. And then the cake, which is a little like cookie, a little like pie, a little like cake. It's one of the most unusual desserts I know.
And I don't mean any disrespect, but if a Pop-Tart
moved
up in the world and became a bit more elegant, this is what it might taste like.
It's a perfect, perfect description of it. You're right. So a grown-up Pop-Tart.
Well, when we bring you in to bake, we're hoping that this is a wonderful journey for the listener as well. And if I may say, I hope that this is one recipe that the listeners really do embrace. If you're a baker, please try this one.
Oh,
I hope so. If you're not a baker, find someone who is and have them make one of these for you.
No.
Or bake it with them. That's even better.
Bake it with them. Bake it
with them. But one way or another, get close to this because it's delicious.
Well, I'm so glad you like it. I'm so glad.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Dury Greenspan is the author of Baking, From My Home to Yours.
And as Michelle promised, you can find the recipe for Gâteau Basque at our website, npr.org.